All right. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name's Peter. Glad you're all here today. So summer is still going on. It's still in the early seasons of it. It's June 3rd, and I love summer. I've had a lot of thoughts of summer, and I found a meme or two that share what I was thinking this week about summer, so I want to share that to start off. There's a guy here named Fry, and he says, "Not sure if I'm still wet from the shower or already sweating."
Yeah.
And that's how I feel. Like when I'm, you know, once I'm dressed and out of the shower already, like I feel my forehead just like dripping. I'm like, what's going on? I just like dried off and I'm already sweaty again. Or this next one. It has a cat and the water, you know, the head in the sink, and best way to beat this heat and just trying to just cool down. I think even like when I watch sports, I love sports, and I see the team, they're just about to win, and then you see the players grabbing the Gatorade tank, and they just run behind the coach, and they just dump it on the coach, and I love that. Like, I'd love to be the coach when I see those moments. I've felt that way this summer already. It's been hot. We've had some hot days, but I love it. The sun is shining. God's made this day. He's given us life and breath and everything else and all that we need, and we're able to be here together and hear God's word, so it's so great. Go ahead and go to the next slide. We have our theme this summer, Summer of Faith. I've been so excited. We want to be faithful in all seasons, but this summer, we're really focusing in on growing in our faith. We've had daily prayers Monday through Friday, where we have a specific thing that together, we do our best to all pray together about it and really lift up our dreams and just our hearts to God. We've also had faithful giving. We've had giving where we're looking to do our fundraiser, and it's begun, and we're raising money towards a building. And we're just giving our heart and just giving up those dreams to God. We also have dreams of a next-gen couple staying on here in Bloomington. These different dreams that we're just fighting for, and I love it. And we have faith about it. To add on to these different things we're doing for Summer of Faith, we're also starting a series today. Summer of Faith. And we're going to go through Hebrews chapter 11 and the different people in Hebrews 11 and be able to learn about faith from these different stories and what God taught them on their journey with God. I'm going to start off the series with Abraham. We plan to go chronologically and go through the names, but I'm starting with Abraham because he's the father of faith. He's not the first name in Hebrews 11 that's mentioned. My sermon today, you can go to the next slide, is titled The Journey of Faith. And these sermons will help us grow in our faith as we hear God's word. Today I'm going to focus in on two big insights that God has recently shown me about faith from Abraham's story, focusing mainly just in chapter 12 when he's called by God. You can go to the next slide. A little background about Abraham before we jump into his story. So Abraham's story is from Genesis 11 to Genesis 25. But he's also referenced throughout the whole Bible. And he's known as the first of the patriarchs, the fathers of God's people. And he's known as the father of faith. You can go to the next one. So in Genesis 17, verse 5, Abraham actually was called Abram first. Genesis 17, verse 5, it reads, "No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Abraham also lived, you can go to the next one, after the time of Noah. He was actually a 10th generation descendant. And in Genesis 11, in verses 10 through 26, you can see the genealogy from Shem, Noah's first son, that all the way leads down to Abraham. You can go to the next one. In Genesis 11, verse 26, we know who Abraham's father was. It was Terah. And genealogies, your father, your line, it was very important to Jewish culture. And that's why you see it over and over these long lists. In Genesis 11, verse 26, after Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram. That's Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Now, Abraham lived first in the land of Ur. You can go to the next one. And eventually, he moved to Haran. And this is part of his journey that's leading up to where we're going to look. In Genesis 11, 31, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, that's going to be Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And then one more little tidbit about Abraham. In Genesis 13:7, we learn that he was a shepherd, and we learn more about him, and he would go on and have many, many possessions. Genesis 13:7, it says, "And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot, the Canaanites and Perizzites, were also living in the land at that time." So, a little bit of background. Maybe this is all stuff, yeah, Peter, I already know all that. Maybe this is all just, you know, little tidbits, or maybe this is just a refresher. But this kind of sets the backdrop of this man of faith that we're going to learn about. Let's start his story in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, where God calls Abram. And this will be the chapter we focus on today. Genesis 12, 1 through 9. "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram left, and the Lord, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring, I will give you this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai, on the east. Then he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev." So this is the call of Abram. God calls him to leave his country, his people, and go to a land that he'll show him. But he doesn't say where that land's going to be at first. He just tells him to go. God also promises to make Abram into a great nation. He also says that all people will be blessed through him. See, God's hinting at his plan all along to bless all people, for all people to be saved. That was always God's plan, not just to bless the Jews. And then verse 4, we see Abraham's response. He left as the Lord told him. He didn't know fully where he was going, and that's what it's like when you walk by faith, not by sight. You don't know what's around the corner. But you have love for God, and you say, "You know what, but I trust God with this. And I'm going to go." Abraham had faith to follow God's plan. My first point is faith to give up everything. To follow God, we have to have faith that his plan is best, and his plan is to give up everything. Turn to Luke 14, verse 33. "I was thinking about Abraham and all the verses about what Jesus said it meant to follow God connect to his story. All the scriptures about being a Christian, being a disciple, they just fit right into Abraham's life. Luke 14, verse 33, Jesus said, 'In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple.'" Jesus said, if we don't give up everything, we can't be a disciple. You can't be a Christian. Abraham was the first to give up everything and follow God. He was the OG of faith. He set the pace. He had lived this out. He was the first man to do this. "Hey, I'll leave my people. I'll leave my country. I'll follow God. I'll give up everything." What else did Jesus say about following God? Luke 9, verse 24 through 25. Jesus said, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?" Jesus said, to follow God, you have to lose your life. But when you do, you save it. You save your soul. Abraham was leaving his country, his people. He was risking it all for God. But the thing was, he wasn't risking it because God keeps his promises. Abraham, he gave up everything, but instead of losing everything, he would go on to be blessed beyond measure. When people choose to lose their life for Christ, they're blessed. We're blessed because we have a personal relationship with God. We're blessed because we have a home waiting for us that's beyond imagining. Deciding to be a Christian is choosing to die. We decide no longer to live for our will, but for God's will and to do whatever God commands. If we follow God faithfully, our life will not make sense to the world. You think about what someone would say to a Christian. It wouldn't make sense. They would say, "What? That's your life? You go to church on Sunday morning? Why do you do that? You could be off making more money. You know, actually, when you go to church, you lose money. You put it in the tray. That doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? You know, a Christian's life, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to be a Christian? You know, when you're a Christian, you're giving up the throne in your heart. You don't do what you want to do anymore. You're not in control. God's in control. Right. Yeah. Why would you want to give up control? How could that make you happy? How could that make you at peace? You won't know what's going to happen next. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to the world, the life of a Christian. Abraham's life probably didn't make sense to people around him, maybe to other people, to other culture. But what does it look like to a Christian? A Christian looks at a relationship with God as the best thing that could be in his life. Matthew 13, Jesus described the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13, verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." A Christian sees that God's kingdom is the greatest. They'll give up everything to have it because they know it's so much better than anything in this world. Abraham had faith to give up everything and follow God. What's that call for us today? If we want to follow God, if you want to be a Christian, be a disciple, it's the same call to give up everything. But then you gain everything by having God in your life. Yep. See, if someone's wanting to understand, okay, but what do I give up? How does this work? You have to just look into the Bible. You look into it with someone. You look deeply into the scriptures, and God will show you what he wants in a relationship with him, what he expects. He'll show maybe some things that you have to take out of your life, like sexual immorality or lying. He'll show you things that he wants in your life. Good deeds. Yep. Being a servant to all. Going out and making disciples. Telling other people about Jesus. Because you're so in love with him. Abraham started a new covenant with God there in Genesis 12. He would be blessed to have a relationship with God. The Jewish people would go on to be blessed. And then, eventually, through Abraham's line, God sent his son Jesus into the world and all people were blessed. Have you decided to live like by faith like Abraham? Have you given up everything to follow God? If not, ask me to sit down and study the Bible. Let's look into it. Let's look into how to live by faith. If you are a disciple, how are you doing it following God faithfully? I've found for myself one of my biggest challenges as a Christian is rooted in selfishness. You know, recently, I've seen myself get anxious about preaching God's word. I love God. I love talking about God, about the Bible. But I've seen myself get anxious, and that anxiousness leads me to getting insecure, feeling unsure about myself. And I've seen the root of those things in selfishness in my heart.
Come on, Peter.
Because I don't want to look bad. I don't want to totally, you know, fall apart and totally trip over my words and not know what to say or not know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to look bad, especially in front of a lot of people. I care about what other people think, and I care about how I do when I have different tasks or responsibilities. And I can place security in how I do it something.
Right. Yeah.
Because then if I do good at it, and if other people see that and praise me about that, then I feel really good about myself.
Right. Yeah.
And that's all me. That's all I. That's not the point of any of this. It's not about me.
Right.
I don't want people to leave after a service and say my name. I want them to say God's name.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just talking about me or somebody else after the service, then you're missing it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we should leave church like, man, God is so good today. I heard my Father's voice today.
Yeah.
Man, that's incredible. Same thing, you know, when I'm dead someday, I don't want people to show up and talk about me at a funeral. I hope they talk about God at that funeral.
Yeah.
I think God's also shown me how to really shed that selfishness, that putting myself first.
Yeah.
In Luke 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus said, if you want to be a Christian, you have to love God above everything else. You can't put yourself above me. You know, there's times where my insecurity is rooted in how I'm doing at something. And I'm not wanting to do bad at what, you know, I'm in charge of or I'm responsible or I'm to do. And that makes me nervous. It's putting myself and how I'm doing above God. With that inner battle, I'm grateful that that's not my whole heart when it comes to speaking. I'm just anxious and I just want to do good about it. And I genuinely prayed this morning that everyone, as we came together, that we would leave differently. That we would be able to really connect with God. That people would understand God by His Holy Spirit as He leads us into truth. That we would be able to connect with God. I really care deeply about people knowing Jesus and knowing how to live like Him. But I have that inner battle. And that's my fight. Maybe that scripture was just for me. How is God calling you to live by faith? Learn from Abraham. Give up everything. Let's get back to Abraham's story in Genesis 12. We're going to read verses 10 through 20.
Come on, Peter.
At this point, Abraham, he's now living in a tent for God, and he's in the land of Canaan. My second point is faith in God's grace. Genesis 12. 10 through 20. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious disease on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders and Abram to his men about Abram, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. In the end of Genesis 12, a famine strikes, and it's severe. So Abraham goes down to Egypt. where there's food, where there's supplies. He has a family to feed. He has livestock to take care of. A famine could cause a great loss for wealth when it comes to a shepherd. Why would there be a famine in the land where God had just called Abraham to be? Was God testing Abraham's faith with this famine? You can go to the next slide. Here's a map of Abraham's journey. So on the bottom right, you see Ur, where he started out in Genesis 11 with his father, Terah. And then about halfway through Genesis 11, you see a kind of light green dots. That's his path. And his father took them up to Haran in the top, kind of in the middle of the map. And then in Genesis 12, we just read, God calls Abram to leave that family, his people, and he travels down the left side to Canaan. And then there's this famine. So he heads left, all the way to the bottom left, to Egypt. And that's where he is now. And he's made this travel, this journey of faith with God. As Abram's entering Egypt, though, he tells Sarai to just say he's his sister. You know, not to mention the whole married thing. What happened to Honest Abe? Sarai actually was Abram's sister, half-sister. You can go to the next slide. So Genesis 20 at the bottom there, Genesis 20, verse 12. I'll start in verse 11. Abraham replied, I said to myself, there is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother. And she became my wife. So Abraham's half-sister actually was Sarai. But he was leaving out the whole marriage thing. Abraham was being deceiving because he was afraid. He was afraid of how the Egyptians would treat him. He was afraid if they knew the truth, they would kill him. Sarai was desirable because of her beauty. Pharaoh wanted her, but for Sarai to join her wife or concubines, Abraham would first have to die if he was the husband. And that's why he was feared for his life when he came into Egypt. To try to protect himself from being murdered, Abraham chose to hide the truth of their marriage. Deceit is hiding the truth. A lie doesn't tell the truth. Half a truth is a whole lie. I guess that's an old saying. I just heard that one the other day. Abraham lost faith in God, though. Even after all God had just promised, I'll make you into a great nation. All people will be blessed through you. And then a famine strikes. He needs to go get food, get supplies for his family, for his livestock. He goes into Egypt, and right away he's like, oh. Hey, Sarai, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do. Instead of relying on God, instead of having faith in God, he just decides to see. He chooses that. He wasn't being faithful to God, faithful that God would take care of him on this journey. I think what's amazing, though, is how God continued to take care of Abraham after this moment. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13 reads, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Right. And I think about God. Even when we are faithless, God is faithful.
That's right.
God shows Abraham grace as he stumbles in Egypt. He didn't say, you know what? Oh, I made a bad decision. I'm going to start over. No, God doesn't make a bad decision. He's right. Perfect. God doesn't go back on his word. He keeps it.
Right.
He said, you know what? I'm still going to bless Abraham. I'm still sticking with this guy. This is my chosen one. This is the first patriarch. This is the father of the faith. He's going to give up everything. He's going to get back on track. God showed him grace. You continue reading in Genesis of his story, and all throughout the Bible, they continue to just reference Abraham, Abraham, Abraham's faith. Abraham believed in God. It was credited to him as righteousness. Continually, if you read the rest of the story, Abraham was blessed, and God did use him, and it did go on to build a great nation, and Jesus did come through his line one day. You know, God didn't give up on Abraham. He won't give up on us either.
Right.
Do you have faith in God's grace?
Amen.
Personally, I struggle to grasp God's amazing grace. I'm very works-based. I can often feel good about myself when I do a lot of good things, and then I feel really bad about myself when I'm doing everything wrong, or at least it feels that way. This is a big issue because then my peace is dictated on how I'm doing. Nobody's perfect. God didn't intend for me to find peace in myself, but find peace in God. Psalm 62, verses 1 through 2. Some brothers are going to be like, oh man, Peter's going to read that again. I've been reading this verse over and over. I quote it to Anna a lot recently. This verse has just helped me. There's so many verses on God's grace. But this one really helps me. It helps me to find peace instead of other places. Psalm of David, Psalm 62, verses 1 through 2. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. We're meant to find rest in God alone.
Yeah.
Not God and my latest accomplishment. Or not God and that one girl. Or not God and this sin. No, just God, because He's all we need.
Yeah.
It's not God's enough. It's no, God is so much more than you can even understand.
Yeah.
Right.
We find peace in God's unconditional love. You find rest in God alone because Jesus died on the cross for us, and we're able to see that. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, John 3:16. You think about how once you find rest in God alone, you recognize, oh, I'm a child of God. Galatians 3:26. You find that, oh man, I'm beautifully, wonderfully made. Psalm 139, verse 14. Let's have faith in God's grace and remember how God has shown us His grace. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. One time when I was struggling to just grasp God's grace, my dad told me to read Ephesians 2. So I read it. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We're saved by grace, not by works. There's no great thing I can do to be right in God's eyes.
Right.
As we're on that journey of faith, just like Abraham, we're going to make mistakes. But God's not going to say, oh man, see you later.
Right.
No, He's going to use us through those times. He's going to help us. He's going to transform us. Mm-hmm. We're saved by grace. We see God's grace through Jesus on the cross. Abraham was shown grace, and we need to have faith in that grace. You can go to the next slide. This is our summer of faith. How's your faith doing? I know I didn't hit on a lot of the really amazing stories in Abraham's life. I know I didn't hit on when he pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah. I think about when he was entertaining angels and teaching us hospitality. When he was 100 years old and he had Isaac. That's amazing. And then Isaac's sacrifice. You think about all those incredible stories. We can spend our whole life learning about faith from Abraham's story. We could have entire series, entire books written just trying to grasp some of Abraham's faith. Chapter 12 just really hit me this last week. And I want to share about that. Faith to give up everything. Faith in God's grace. That's all pieces of our journey, and there's so many more pieces. But those pieces can add to our faith. The faith God can teach us from Abraham's story. Last scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 8. I got to have something from the Faith Hall of Fame. I said that's where we're looking. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Just obeyed and went. I'm so much a person who's like, okay, what's the plan? Anna, what's going on later today? Wait, what's going to happen at that party? What's going on later? What's the schedule? What's going to happen? And I sometimes, you know, can just find peace in kind of knowing what's ahead or kind of trying to map it out. But we live by faith, not by sight. You're not going to know the next step the Holy Spirit's leading you to be and where to be if you're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't work that way. We can't have love for the journey, the plan that's coming up. We have to have love for God and just trust, you know what? If this is where he's taking me, amen. Then I'll go for it. Abraham got that. It said he didn't even know where he was going. Then he took his family and then he left. Left his country and his people to just follow God. I love that. That's faith. That's how we have to live. Not asking, okay, God, but what's going to happen there? Or what's the exact place? No, I'll just follow you wherever you want me to go. I'll give up everything. We have to have faith to give up everything. Abraham was the first man that did this. He was the example. Let's follow God wherever he wants to take us.
Amen.
With faith that it's best for us.
Right.
Let's have faith in God's grace. Know that on our journey with God, we won't be perfect. But God will not abandon us. He'll only transform us on the way. Abraham was the father of faith. His faith was passed on. It's now reached us. Let's continue in our journey of faith with God. We're going to now have a song, and Anna can come up. And this song, Anna found, that connects with faith. Maybe this will be like our summer theme. Our like summer like theme song. Like TV shows have a theme song. Maybe this will